Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Today we want to speak again the same subject as we have done for the last few weeks. The believer's authority. Today is part 6 and also the last one. I have told you many things about our authority in the spiritual realm. Today we learn about the armor of God that we have at our disposal. It's from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The Christian who puts on this armor and is engaging in warfare is being marked. By spiritual warfare, I simply mean doing the works of Jesus and taking our authority over the devil as we go about in our daily lives. The devil will do everything in his power to keep you from coming into the knowledge of authority over him. He will fight you more than anything else about this subject. Then, after you have come into the knowledge of this authority, he will oppose you and tries to steal it from you. There will be tests, and sometimes people fail the tests. The devil wants you to throw up your hands and say the authority that you are talking about is not working for me. We may fail, but God's word does not fail. I believe his word is true. The enemy will resist your interference in his sphere because he is exercising authority over the powers of the air, and he wants to continue to do so. When you interfere with Satan's kingdom by exercising your spiritual authority, he will attack you and attempt to get you back down from using that authority. If you successfully resist Satan's attacks in one area, he will come against you in another area. You may as well get ready for these attacks because they will come. In other words, your privileged spiritual position makes you an enemy of the devil. You see, the devil realizes he cannot hold a bondage a believer who knows his authority in Jesus Christ. As believers, we are aware that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, that the devil is a defeated foe under our feet. Furthermore, as believers, we are convinced that no work of the enemy can prevail against us in carrying out the will of God on the earth. If believers take advantage of the spiritual armor provided for us, the enemy cannot defeat us. I don't believe that anything that's of the enemy should be able to defeat those who are members of the body of Christ. The believer must continually be arrayed with this armor. The Holy Spirit prayed through Paul that the eyes of the people will be opened to know the full provision that has been made for our safety. In Ephesians chapter 6, we read about the armor that protects us. We are reading verse 10 to 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The different parts of this armor symbolize the spiritual truths which belong to the believer. Wearing this armor, the believer is protected and unhampered in the ministry of authority. All he needs to be concerned about is keeping his armor well secured around him. Now let's take a closer look at this armor. First is the belt of truth. This represents a clear understanding of the Word of God. Like a soldier's belt, it holds the rest of the armor in place. Second is the breastplate of righteousness. This has a twofold application. Jesus is our righteousness, and we have to put him on first. It also shows our obedience to the Word of God. Third, our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is faithful ministry proclaiming the Word of God. Fourth is the shield of faith. A shield is covering the entire body. This represents our complete safety under the blood of Christ, where no power of the enemy can penetrate. Fifth is the helmet of salvation, referred to in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, as a hope of salvation. The hope of salvation is the only helmet you are able to protect the head. Sixth is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This shows that the Word of God is to be used offensively. While the other parts of the armor are mainly defensive, the sword, the Word of God, is an active weapon. Dressed in the armor of God, you are prepared to withstand every attack of the enemy. Also, we have authority over demon spirits. We do not have authority over other people or their wills. We have authority over demons. We can control them as far as our lives and our family lives is concerned. But we can't always control them with other people, because that person's will comes into play. You can have a demon in your body without being possessed by a demon. You cannot cast out an evil spirit of a person who has a demon in him if he doesn't agree. The demon will tell you, "You can't cast me out." You say, "Yes, I can, in the name of Jesus." And the demon will reply, "No, you can't. This man wants me to be here, and so I can stay." Don't waste your time with someone who doesn't want to be free. There is also a religious spirit. You need to know that there are such kind of spirits. They make people act very religious. These people can have three different kinds of spirits in them. The spirit which is against everything of God. And the deceiving spirits. And the lying spirits. They are lying to the person. They believe in a mixture of some people along with Eastern religions. They learn more about Eastern religions than about the Bible. They may not want to turn to the Word of God. They keep up to what they want, and no one can cast out any spirit out of them. You've got to walk off and leave people when they want it that way. If people want to live in sin, they can live in sin. If they want to be free, they can be free. But as long as they don't want to be free, neither Jesus nor anybody else can set them free. You can't go around exercising authority over the devil in somebody else. You've got the authority over your own life with your own family. But you can't cast the devil out of everyone you meet on the street, even though you see they have an evil spirit in them, because they have authority over their own life. When people want help, that is a different matter. It's strange that sometimes even spiritual Christians, they don't want this help. Let me point something out to you here. You don't just exercise spiritual authority on behalf of other people, per se. You've got to have the manifestation of the Spirit of God. That's why many are failing. They are trying to deal with the spirits without the word of knowledge, without discerning the spirits, or the unction of the Holy Spirit. In Acts, we can read of a story of a girl possessed with an evil spirit of divination. She followed Paul and Silas around Philippi for many days, according to Acts 16, saying these men are the servants of the Most High God. Do you know why Paul didn't deal with that spirit on the first day? He had to wait for the manifestation of the Spirit. He had to wait until the Spirit of God gave him the discerning of spirits. You see, you can run the devil away from your own house anytime. If a person is in your premises, you can have authority over that demon. But when you get away from where your domain is, the evil spirit has a right to be there, because Satan is a god of this world. That is the reason Paul had to wait many days to deliver the demon-possessed girl. He didn't command that spirit to leave her in the first day she began following him. He waited, and when the right time came, he spoke to the spirit, and it came out of her. The Bible says concerning the ministry of Jesus that he cast out spirits with his word. It also says that he cast them out by the Spirit of God. He didn't just speak his word apart from the Spirit of God. In Matthew 12, we read of the Pharisees who were accusing Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. And Jesus replied, "If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you." We know that the word that we have spiritual authority, but we must depend upon the Holy Spirit to help us ministering authority. We can't do it ourselves. If the devil attacks me, I have authority over him because I have authority over my own life. I can tell him to leave my house immediately. I can also control situations as long as people are in my presence. When you have a family member who is bound by the devil, you can say, Satan, in name of Jesus Christ, I break your power over my family member's life, and I claim his or her deliverance and salvation. You will see that within a few days, they will be safe. Mm-hmm. Family members. Maybe you have prayed for them for years and nothing happened. But when you take this stand and exercise your spiritual authority as a believer, it works. Someone may say they would try and see if it works. But it will not work for them because it's not about trying, it's about doing it. Sometimes believers say they will try something because it has worked with somebody else. But they have to study the Word of God and clothe themselves in its teaching on authority, then it will work for them. But if they try to act on God's Word without really having that Word built up in their spirit, the devil will defeat them. You only defeat the devil when you have a foundation in the Word of God and act upon it. The Bible says, speaking about Satan, whom resists steadfast in the faith. Your level of faith is directly related to the degree of God's Word dwelling in your heart. That is, the Word which is reality to you, in which you are walking daily. Mm-hmm. Why do some people lose their healing? Mm-hmm. When people are in a place where faith is high, where there are many people, where the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, it's completely easy for them to receive healing. That is what has happened in meetings with certain evangelists to minister. When these people get back on their own, the devil comes along with lying symptoms. That's the reason you see people get delivered from evil spirits, from sickness, a disability, and next time when you see them, they're right back in the same situation. Somebody will say, well, they have not been really healed. How could a crippled man walk who had never walked before if he had not been healed? If it wasn't healing, what was it then? How could a blind man who never saw see? How can a deaf man who never heard hear? They were all right until they got home, and after 2 or 3 weeks, the healing was gone. Why did they lose it? Because they didn't know how to use their authority. They didn't know how to hold on to what they had, so they didn't try to exercise authority themselves. There was a lady who was stretched out stiff on a board, like a board in her bed. She was instantly healed, got up, and walked. Her doctor couldn't find a trace of arthritis in her body. But 6 weeks later, she was as stiff as a board again, lying on bed. Why did she lose her healing? People get into the presence of God where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in operation, and it's easy to receive healing. Then when they get back home on their own, they're really on their own. That's why people need to be taught the Word God and their rights and privileges as believers. They have to join a church where they are being upheld. Then they can exercise authority for themselves over the devil, disease, and circumstances. The Bible differentiates between casting out devils and healing the sick. Often people's physical condition doesn't respond to prayer and the laying on of hands because there is an evil spirit involved. As soon as a demon is cast out, the person is healed. We have to know the difference between oppression and possession. Somebody might be oppressed, but not possessed. Suppose you live in a house which has been built 100 years ago, and somebody tells you that house is full of ants. That doesn't mean the ants are in you. That doesn't mean your body is sick because the house is sick. Your body is the house you live in. If you know how you can keep the ants out of your natural house and the demons out of your physical house, they won't be there if you use the right precautions. When you pray in tongues, you know that the Spirit of God knows how to pray. He is the author of prayer. So how do we deal with demons? We've got to depend on the Spirit of God to know when demons are present, and we have to know how to deal with them. We're helpless without the Spirit and the Word. Many try to act on the Word of God without the Spirit of God. And many try to operate with the Spirit without the Word. You've got to have both of them. The Spirit and the Word agree. You don't need to deal with the Spirit in every case of healing. But if you have to, the Lord will show you. If He doesn't say anything, don't try to deal with the evil spirit. Just go on, minister healing to the person. Helpless people need to be helped. Sometimes you can carry them with you on your own faith. But people who know, people who are enlightened, have to walk in the light of what they have received, what they know. Some people are more enlightened than others. The more you know, the more is required of you. You can exercise spiritual authority over others as long as they are in your presence. You can take authority over all unseen forces. If you learn how to exercise spiritual authority like this, it will work in your home as well. You cannot exercise authority over their will, but over the spirit that made them act in the way they did. Jesus once told his disciples that he was going to Jerusalem to suffer many things and to die. And Peter objected. Jesus immediately rebuked him, saying, "Get behind me, Satan." He didn't say Peter is Satan. He was showing that Peter had sat with doubt and unbelief and the devil. Sometimes Christians unconsciously yield to the enemy, but we can take authority over those spirits. The Bible says we also can take authority over fear, even when fear is in our lives. We need to know that. But we can't always take authority over fear in somebody else's life. You are able to control fear as long as a person is in your presence and didn't know how to stand against it. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Notice that the Bible calls fear a spirit. God has given us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. You can always operate your authority over fear and doubt. If you are tempted to doubt, say, "Doubt, I resist you in the name of Jesus." If you are tempted to fear, say, "Fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus." Doubt and fear will leave you when you do this. We can resist the devil. Often we realize that certain trials in our lives are the work of the enemy. We try to cry to God to alter the circumstances for us. However, God's word tells us to rebuke the enemy ourselves. James 4:7 says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." The authority over the devil is ours. The responsibility is ours. If we resist the devil, he will flee from us. The Bible doesn't say, "Get somebody else to resist the devil for you." It says, we are to resist the devil. Too many sit idly waiting for Jesus to do something when we are the ones who are supposed to resist the devil. Why? Because we have the authority to do it. Of course, we're always going to have spiritual babies and we ought to carry them in our faith. But we ought to grow up enough to be able to help look after the babies and not leave it up to the pastor to do everything. Conditions exist because we permitted them to exist. Matthew 18:18 says, "As surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Brothers and sisters, exercise your authority.